You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Are you ready to rock?
Initialize sequence.
What is this, some kind of sick practical joke?
Ooh, yeah! I bet that pizza tastes good.
This is where the world of pop culture and talk
collide.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
I'm a little bit frightened of you, and I like the feeling.
This is the Adam and JP
Adam
Show.
Adam and JP Show.
Groovy.
I love geeks.
So, Adam, we are about a week away from the Adam and JP Summer Movie Special.
We are. It's been such a long time in the works. It's odd that it's almost here finally.
I'm kind of tired of talking about it and emailing about it.
I feel like it's already happened
and
many
listening
times
to
over.
It. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it has.
Yeah.
But we're excited.
We are, for sure.
I don't have a list of stations as yet. I think I was supposed to get it before we recorded today, and it hasn't come in yet. I can tell you some of the markets that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So if you live in some of these markets, I guess check your local talk radio station to see if they're going to carry it on their website and stuff. First of all, I want to thank... Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It is a nice rainy day outside.
You know, on the rainy days, we keep the garage door open.
It's a nice, cool, rainy breeze.
Yeah.
Cold Kentucky rain, as my boy Elvis would say.
So you can hear the cars go by
on
the street in front of the house. Our friends at WGNS Radio in Murfreesboro have signed up to carry the Adam and JP.
Oh, we're back on WGNS.
Special. Yeah. One day only, we'll be back on WGNS. I think in the middle of the day.
Nice.
On Memorial Day.
That's good.
So what I want to do is on the website, I'll probably grab some of the stations that are going to carry it and the times that they're going to carry it, if I can find that out, and actually put a link up to where, you know, during the day, throughout the weekend, just go to the website, hit a link, and listen to the live stream.
Nice.
So we'll do WGNS's live stream on Memorial Day.
Very cool.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. Fayetteville, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, San Diego, California, Jackson, Tennessee, Clarksville, Tennessee, Murray, Kentucky, and I think Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Nice.
Just some of the markets I just know right off the top of my head.
San Diego. Okay. A little Kirky, New Mexico action. I like
San Diego.
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque's Talk Monster.
Check it out. Google
it's
that.
The Albuquerque station that carries Rush Limbaugh.
So that's really cool.
Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck.
And from that, who knows what will happen?
You know, we don't know.
I have no idea.
Hopefully, we can do something a little more regular.
Right.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that's the plan, I would say.
I'm down for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the riches that have come in from this 1-2 hour show. You're buying a Porsche, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or are you going to go with the Lambo?
Maserati comes in next week, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. I'm looking at a Tesla myself.
Really? Huh? You're like the modern man, huh? I'm the more classic Italian kind of guy myself. We're talking Hot Wheels, by the way.
That's true. That's right. That's exactly. This is actually an episode of Collection Connection. We don't push Josh's show enough.
It's a fantastic show.
It is a fantastic
show. Really. Very informative, entertaining. I enjoy it greatly each week.
And there's just certain phrases that come out of episodes of Collection Connection
I
that
want
just stick in my brain.
This. Yeah.
Thrall's daddy. Thrall is a character from World of Warcraft.
Right. Yeah. I would love these shirts with those sayings on there.
Thrall's daddy.
Yeah. I would wear a Thrall's daddy shirt.
I want a shirt that says, "Who's Thrall's daddy?"
Because a select few people would get that reference,
but
the ones that did would appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I think any Warcraft fan would know.
Yeah.
So go listen to Collection Connection.
Do it. They break down the new Ghostbusters line of toys, which the trailer 2 of the new Ghostbusters film came out a few days ago. What do you think of that?
I, once again, didn't mind it.
I'm almost said sold.
You're getting there?
I'm borderline sold.
It's a better trailer. It's better put together. It's better edited.
I went in. I like to go in with a open mind and never judge the book by its cover or the name of the movie itself. But honestly, with this certain project, I went in kind of negative. I went in with a frown on my face, and I saw the first trailer, and it was not what I expected. A little bit better than I expected, but I still hated it. And with this, the viewing of the second trailer, it's growing on me. I'll say that. I will watch it. I will be there opening night. I'll say that.
I think there's a little more fun in this trailer than the last one.
Yeah.
And you get a look at who I assume is the main bad guy, Rowan.
Uh-huh.
You actually see him twice in the trailer. Because from what I understand, Rowan has a human form, even though he's like on the scale of a Gozar or you know, something like that from the others. Oh, in the second movie, the main bad guy.
Oh, wow. I've forgotten it. The painting. We'll say the painting.
Yeah, the painting.
Yeah. Oh, I don't forget his name. Keep going. I'll figure it out.
So Rowan can take a human form, right. But I think he can also transform himself into other entities. That's where we get the marching logo that we see in the trailer.
Uh-huh, right.
The Ghostbusters logo, a la the first Ghostbusters.
Viggo the Carpathian.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Rowan takes that form, much like the Destroyer did in the first Ghostbusters, where the Destroyer took the form of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Right.
Which kind of, you know, because that was something that when we saw the sneak peek of, or I guess released pictures of the figures that were coming out, we're like, why is that a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So as things start to get explained.
And have we talked about, we talk a lot off mic and on mic. We do multiple podcast shows, Pop Culture Hangovers, worked on this special for 2 months now. So I really forget what we talked about, what we haven't.
We have spent a lot of time together.
Oh, we have. So pardon me if we've spoken to this before, but, and it's not a slight towards any character or any kind of character representation here, but how come anytime they show a giant character, that character always moves so slow? Ant-Man, for example.
Giant Man?
Well, I didn't want to spoil it, but
oh,
sure.
Oh, sorry.
Spoiler for Civil War, Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, he's in the commercials now.
Giant Man is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, never mind. So Giant Man in Civil War, when you see him, he's moving super, super slow.
Mm-hmm.
But in comparison, if that person is that big, they should be moving at least normal speed as a normal person or even faster because their muscles are larger. But every time, be it a Godzilla movie, King Kong, be it Ultraman, be it anything, if it's a giant character, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
The Statue of Liberty?
Exactly. They always move super, super slow. Why is that?
That's a great question.
Watching Giant Man, I'm like, this is awesome, fantastic, and it's nothing new, but every time we see in film a giant character, they're always crazy slow.
Now,
I don't know why that is.
Other examples where they haven't fallen into that trope, Cloverfield, the monster moved pretty fast.
Was he pretty fast? I can't remember. Was he? Okay.
Pacific Rim.
I have not seen that still.
The, you know, they're oversized.
There are no tall, lumbering creatures
no.
like that? Okay.
They all move pretty fast.
But you know what I'm saying? Does that visual strike in your head?
Yeah, like, you would think, because why do you have to be slow?
Yeah.
I think it's for effect, honestly.
I guess so. Even Giant Man. I mean, you remember how slow he was moving?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was awesome and well done, but it was so slow.
Yeah.
I have no complaint about that. It just kind of stuck out in my head.
On DC Legends of Tomorrow, when they did Adam, when Adam increased in size, they moved pretty fast.
Really?
It was it was much like Pacific Rim and also much like some of those classic Titan movies.
Yeah.
They moved pretty fast.
Okay.
They would run at each other.
Really? Nice.
Which is always cool to see.
Just always a thought in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Much like we see Rowan.
But that's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Why did the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man move so slow?
Yeah.
Probably there's a real reason.
Yeah, I think so.
Like they could only make the effects work by making him
right, right.
When you have somebody in an oversized suit.
I do like the theme of them having large characters in all these Ghostbusters movies. We have Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. We've got the Statue of Liberty in the sequel.
Uh-huh.
And now we have the Rowan character or whatever we call him.
Right.
And you have that almost Uncle Sam kind of ghost with a big, tall, towering legs.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He's cool looking, too.
I got to tell you, the more I see about this movie, the more... I mean, there's some funny moments in it.
The Slimer looks all right. Looks pretty good.
Slimer looks good, I think.
They didn't totally change him up. He's pretty much the exact same Slimer we know and love.
Right.
For the most part.
I was a little worried about Chris Hemsworth.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But in that second trailer... He looks pretty funny.
Yeah.
There's some funny stuff going on.
So I'm down for it. I will.
Look, guys, I'm a Ghostbuster.
We'll see that opening night.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm
curious what the crowd's going to be like. Because if you look online, there are a lot of hate for this.
Yeah.
And we talked about the most hated movie trailer on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And now people like the angry video game nerd, James Rolfe himself, went on his website and said he will not be reviewing that movie because it's blasphemy for what he knows and loves, and people were rallying behind him.
Look.
It's funny because the voice of Egon Spengler from the 80s cartoon spoke out against James Rolfe, saying you need to grow up and just embrace the new stuff. Isn't that weird?
I mean, I think you do. I look at this much like I did with the Star Trek reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of hate for that.
Yeah.
Kind of still is.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
and I think why not? Because I saw, and we talked about that on this show, I saw for myself... someone, or more than one person, watched Star Trek Into Darkness, and that was the second one, right?
Yeah.
Wrath of Khan.
Yep, pretty much.
And not know Wrath of Khan, not know the Khan storyline, and absolutely loved that movie and became a fan of the franchise.
Uh-huh.
And was kind of a fan after the first Star Trek movie. So if it's done well and it's reimagined, and I don't mind it. And I think I'm 80% sure Ghostbusters is going to fall into that category.
I think so.
Yeah.
But imagine the new crowd of people, and that's fine, that will see this Ghostbusters, the 2016 Ghostbusters for the first time, and then be intrigued by the 80s Ghostbusters and go back and see that and not be fans of that. This is going to happen. It's going to be the great divide.
Mm-hmm.
There will be fans of the 2016 Ghostbusters that hate the 80s Ghostbusters. That will happen.
Sometimes it's not well done, a la the A-Team movie.
Right, right.
But, you know, I think sometimes it can work out really well. I think it did in Star Trek. I think it might for Ghostbusters. It would be like, I mean, you're a fan of the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
You're wearing a Hulk shirt today.
Yeah.
What if you loved that 70s series so much that you absolutely despise the idea
of the Avengers?
Of the Avengers. Like, I'm not seeing that. That's blasphemy to the Incredible Hulk TV series.
We have close friends that are in that camp. They say that the best Hulk is Lou Ferrigno to this day.
Hmm. Have they ever met Lou Ferrigno?
Apparently not.
It'll change their opinion.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I don't know. I enjoyed that second Ghostbusters trailer.
Yeah, I'm slowly becoming a fan.
I went to Fanboy Expo.
You did?
Last week.
I wanted to, but I had to work, couldn't get out of that. So how did that go for you?
It was a convention in Nashville at the Nashville Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
They have three now, usually in Tampa Bay and in Knoxville, and they finally migrated to Nashville. So pretty good show for
the
first time.
I think the organizers were testing the Nashville waters, doing it at the fairgrounds the first year.
The guest list was pretty impressive.
Yeah, John Herter,
mm-hmm.
or is it Heater?
I think Heater, Hater.
Hater?
Napoleon Dynamite,
yeah, he was there. Margot Kidder was there.
Mm-hmm.
So some interesting
big stuff.
Yeah. A good crowd.
Okay.
Our buddy Adam Buttry.
Yeah.
Buttry Designs. Had
killing
a booth set up.
He
was killing it all weekend long.
That's awesome.
He says all weekend, but I saw 3-4 hours myself.
Right. Yeah.
So good for and we don't push him enough.
We don't.
Does he have a Facebook page?
He does. Just check out Buttry Design on Instagram, I know for sure. Maybe on Facebook as well. I know the actual website is buttry.design. That is buttrey.design. It's his website.
And he was taking some commissions there, and I think, I'm sure he'll take commissions online.
A very humble guy. He thinks he's all right, but he's pretty awesome.
It's interesting to watch him, because we've known him for years and years, and actually watch an artist kind of evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has.
The sketches.
He's always been good.
Artists, their brains confuse me in so many ways. When I was with him at the Knoxville Fanboy Expo show, I helped him run his booth there. And out of nowhere, he's like, I want to do an alien. Like an actual alien, you know, drawing here. And so he draws this alien from the movie Alien, the Xenomorph. And the amount of detail that was in his head, he just freehand draw.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy. It was insane. The scales and the dimensions and stuff I can't even comprehend as a non-artist. It's crazy the stuff he can do.
I wish I could do that.
Me too. I cannot draw a proper circle/stick man. I can't do it.
They do look funny.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah, you have. You were wearing an old Fat JP shirt. Talk about it.
I am. Old Fat JP.
Because long story short, off the mic here, some behind the scenes here. I'm putting together a wedding video we'll have coming up in December here. I'm going through old pictures.
Whose wedding?
You. Mine. I'm going through old pictures of you and me and other people as well. A lot of me and you, though. But I see old pictures of us before our weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're new to this, we have, in the past 12 months, lost what?
I'm around the 60.
So we've lost 120-ish pounds together?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
Yeah,
like
we've
that.
Lost
That's
a
right.
We've lost a small female worth of weight in the past year.
Right.
So these old pictures of the two of us at conventions are funny sights. And mm-hmm. it's funny, not to go too deep in the psychology of weight loss here, but when you're that big, you don't notice how big you are.
I didn't know.
I had no idea.
I had no idea.
And so you go back and see these old pictures, and you're like, wow, why didn't someone just punch me in the face?
I just know that I got called Hoss a lot when I was out.
Bubba, Hoss.
Hoss, Biggin.
Huffy.
What you need, Biggin?
Hey, Husky.
Those were the pants I had to wear when I was a kid.
Yeah. I always thought the Huffy bike was for fat kids.
Really?
I don't know why I thought that. Just huffing on it. But yeah, you've only seen those old pictures. One of the classic shirts you would wear quite a bit at conventions
uh-huh.
is the big and large and in charge Atari shirt.
It wasn't that big on me then.
No, yeah, but now it's like a...
But now it looks like a dress.
It's a bed sheet.
I could like tie up and do the old Daisy Duke.
Oh, nice. Or like the 80s Valley Girl look.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Yeah, yeah, I wore this just for you.
Yeah.
Just so you could see the difference.
Thanks.
In the Atari shirt. Yeah, you could see those fat pictures on our website, AdamandJP.com. There's a ton of them.
That's true. Go through that.
We don't put up a lot now.
We don't go to, it's true.
Like, if
yeah.
you went there, you have no idea what we look like
now. My God, still two fatties, which, I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Compared to the normal guy, I guess. But.
Like Star-Lord walking around, but that actually is, and not to stay on this, I have found that, you know, I spent a year trying to drop a bunch of weight, and I did that through diet and a lot of cardio, like walking and running and that sort of stuff. And it has occurred to me recently that might have not been the wisest decision.
Yeah.
Because I did drop the weight, but you also, you know, just doing straight cardio, you're killing your muscle mass.
Right.
Like, I have no muscle mass whatsoever.
Yeah.
So the last couple of weeks, I've started to, and actually got some advice from Nashville's Dark Knight.
Really?
Our very own Batman, Adam Prince.
Oh, nice.
Like, I'm like, I don't want to be ripped, and I don't want, but I don't want to be, you know, just a skeleton with loose skin walking around either. And so the last couple of weeks, I've started the toning portion of this lifestyle change. And man, I got to tell you, it sucks.
That's the toughest part.
It sucks.
Not to get too physical here, but yeah, that's the toughest part. Because cardio, you can do and do and do, and you never really get, overexert yourself.
Right.
Whenever you're out of breath, you're out of breath. No big deal. But for muscle mass and gaining muscle at all times, you've got to be pushing your body to the max. So it should never be comfortable. Whereas walking, it's comfortable. Running eventually gets comfortable, but you should always be stressing your body to the max for weight gain and muscle. It's tough.
Yeah, I'm just trying to tone.
Yeah.
I don't want to build anything I have to maintain.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it hurts. My ribs hurt. The back of my legs hurt.
You sound like Rocky in Rocky One. My fingers hurt. My hair hurts.
My forearms hurt.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pain.
That means you're actually getting ripped. Like, those muscles are ripping, hence the term ripped, and the new acids coming in there, and the juices flow. It's good.
For the first time in my life ever, I drink something called protein milk.
Yeah. Protein is your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I've really upped the protein in my diet.
Yeah. So. Now you need Quest bars. My savior. My sweet, sweet savior, a Quest bar.
I don't know. I don't like the taste of those things.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the chalky protein.
Yeah, they are really chalky.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. So enough about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The physical advice from two biggish guys.
Two kind of fat.
Yeah, right. But, you know, there are people out there that may want to hear this kind of thing.
Well, here's the thing, and it's possible. I will say this. And this is the absolute truth. And you said, don't say that because it's not true. But I honestly believe if I can change the way I used to do things, anybody can.
Yeah, same here. I do agree.
Yeah.
The amount of sugar. Ooh, I just did the old gopher whistle. The amount of sugar I used to intake in my body a day, it was insane. Insane.
Yeah.
And to totally let you go from that much sugar to zero sugar and totally just cold turkey that, anyone can do it. Your mind has to be ready before your body, though.
Right.
Because for years, I'm like, yeah, I want to lose weight. I know I'm fat. I want to be in shape. But one day, you have to wake up and realize,
I can't go to Taco Bell today.
Yeah, today's the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a fast food restaurant. Every now and then, I would be lying if I said, I haven't been in over a year.
Yeah.
That's not true. Mm. Because I will every now and then, just to, you know, because I believe, you know, if you reward yourself every now and then, then that just keeps you motivated to the next time you get to, you know, reward yourself.
Yeah.
Like at Dragon Con, I'm going to go nuts.
Just blow back up.
I'm just telling
you. Hey, everyone, look, he's cosplaying as Rowan.
I did last year. I had fish and chips and pizza and all that stuff that I used to eat all the time. But you can't do it every day.
Right. But if I did that with the way I eat, if I did that, I would just have explosive, you know what, everywhere.
Oh, there's repercussions.
I'm sure.
Oh, believe me, there's repercussions.
I can imagine.
But to me, it's worth it.
it's a good pain.
There's going to be a new James Bond, maybe.
Right. I hear that
Daniel Craig's done.
Turned down $99 million for the next two films.
Though the BBC is saying that's not entirely the case.
Oh, really?
But, you know, the internet has blown up over the last couple of days with Daniel Craig's out as James Bond.
All these hashtag damn Daniels. I see them everywhere now.
So, first of all, could you turn down that kind of money? I guess it's, you know, if you're looking at a pretty good bankroll for the last four Bond movies you've done,
no, I think
makes it a little easier.
It's tougher, but think about that. That's basically $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's one-tenth of $1 billion.
Yeah.
There's no way he's made that much money to make that chump change for him. There's no way.
I mean,
there's no way.
I think he got quite a good payday for that last Bond movie.
So much so
and
where.
And Cowboys and Aliens.
So much so where $100 million means nothing?
I don't know. I mean,
I think even for like a Donald Trump, a certified billionaire, I think $100 million is a lot of money. That's tough. That's a tough thing to throw away.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I
would do a lot of money for 100 cents.
That would be hard to turn down. That would be hard.
Just saying.
But who would you like to see replace him? Is there anybody?
I think the Loki.
The Tom Hiddleston?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't happen. I don't think it will, but it's a good idea.
Man, could you imagine that guy?
Mm. Well, they should...
Loki in the MCU.
They should cross fandoms. I would love to see like a David Tennant or a Matt Smith over there. I would like that a lot.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, cross the fandoms. Do it. Cross the streams, damn it.
I like the idea of Idris Elba.
Yeah, yeah. Like
you
that,
know, that's
yeah.
going around.
He's a great actor.
I think he'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Be a fine James Bond.
Yeah.
Especially if you ever watch Luther on BBC.
Yeah, I've seen clips. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, he was on The Wire, too.
Yeah.
And he's also, who's his character in Thor?
Oh, man, why is my brain not working today? The Guardian.
Yeah, the guy that watches the...
Heimdall, yeah.
Yeah.
Heimdall.
The Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, that's him, Heimdall. even, who else? I think Benedict Cumberbatch would be fantastic, but he never will. He should be a doctor before he should be James Bond, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of his style and speed, I think.
Oh, I think Cumberbatch. Think about him taking over for Capaldi.
Yeah, what do you think?
He could be Doctor Strange and Doctor Who.
I think he'd be a fantastic doctor. I've always thought he should be the next doctor.
He would be good. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering.
But I think he's above that. You know what I mean?
Do you think Matt Smith or David Tennant would come back? Because, I mean, it's Doctor Who. They can make it whatever they want. I mean, they can say it's never happened before, but you can write something to explain why that ego has returned
to be
the
Doctor. That's tricky for them, especially because Doctor Who kind of brings in, at least to Americans, the majority of them are unknown actors beforehand, before they become the Doctor.
Right.
I think it's tough for them. That's kind of like, you know, asking Macaulay Culkin to be Kevin McAllister one more time. He's past that.
Oh, I think he would do it.
You think so? Well, maybe for some crack.
Yeah.
But for his honor, he couldn't do it.
I don't know. Like one season?
I think that's trying to make
it. Even if they went to David Tennant, look, you know, this show made you come back, be the Doctor one more season, get us back up to where we want to be.
They're past that. Look, Mario Lopez, AC Slater, just one more season. He's got bigger fish to fry.
He still plays Mario Lopez today.
Does he? Well, for like a skit. As a joke. Like the fact they got the whole cast and crew back for Fuller House blows my mind every day, except for Michelle, of course.
But look how good that was.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, good in comparison
to it.
Full House good.
It was gone in a flash, and I don't remember anything about it, but it was what it was.
Yeah.
Macy Gray was in there. That's a plus.
That was odd, wasn't it?
It was random.
Special guest star, Macy Gray.
Who? Oh, yeah. She, you know, she had almost a hit 12 years ago.
Speaking of hits, SiriusXM, which I subscribe to, they've had a limited, it ends today, but they for the last few weeks, they've had a limited edition channel called Wonderland.
That's got to be fun.
Where they play one-hit wonders.
I love one-hit
all
wonders.
All day long.
Any good stuff on there?
All day long. Cotton Eye Joe. What was the RuPaul song that would come up a lot?
Oh, I forget. Was it called Work?
Work It.
Work, girl, move your thing on the runway.
Taco, Putting on the Ritz.
Oh, man.
Rock Me Amadeus.
Wow.
They would go from the 70s to today.
Yeah.
And all your favorite one-hit wonders.
Nice.
I was listening last night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm working, listening to the Wonderland one-hit wonders. And I hear, dun 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 dun. And it was like the opening of the Bill Conti. It was Gonna Fly Now.
Yeah,
was the song, but Bill Conti, according to SiriusXM, one hit wonder.
No way.
See you. No, I'm gonna tell you exactly what you told me.
What's that?
When I said Tom Cochran wasn't a one hit wonder.
He is.
Just because he did the music to American Gladiators doesn't mean he's not a one hit wonder.
Come on, man.
Because they had Tom Cochran, Life Is a Highway.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Tom Cochran was in Red Rider, Lunatic Fringe.
No,
he's got
different.
More than one
that's
hit.
Different.
Yeah.
It's different. That's like having an Oingo Boingo song be a one-hit wonder, and you can't say it, but Danny Elfman
was
such a greater thing.
Yeah. Oingo Boingo was on there.
As it should be.
Yeah.
But Danny Elfman, as a separate entity, did his own special thing.
Yeah.
Bill Conti does so much stuff as Bill Conti. Tom Cochran did nothing else as Tom Cochran.
What else has Bill Conti done other than the Rocky movies and American Gladiators?
The Masters of the Universe live-action movie.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. That classic Gate Key song. It's awesome. He did the composing for Karate Kid, I'm pretty sure, with John G. Appleton. See?
Did he?
Classics, yeah. Of course, Peter Cetera is the known song from it, but he did the music. I'm just saying. But to me, Bill Conti, oh, man. A far, far second to John Williams, but he's second. I believe.
Wait a minute.
I said a far second.
In your echelon of film composers,
I said far.
John Williams.
Yeah.
Bill Conte.
I'm telling you. Who would you put number two?
Alan Silverstreet.
Really?
Yeah. I would even put the guy we're going to talk about on the Tuesday show,
yeah,
John Carpenter, before
that's true.
Bill Conte.
Yeah. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Bill Conte, the raw emotion that evokes in my body when I hear his music.
For you.
Yeah. For, I mean, it's all personal.
I'm asking you to like look at it from a scientific standpoint and remove your emotion out of it.
In that case, Bill Conte. I mean, it's classic. Really, it's classic stuff. I think
it is classic. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I'm never going to argue that the Rocky theme and all that is not classic.
And I would say,
but to say John Williams, one, Bill Conte, two, Henry Mancini?
To remove myself from all this, I would say the Gonna Fly Now opening 3 seconds is more memorable than any Alvin Silvestri stuff ever, wouldn't you say?
Forrest Gump soundtrack?
Yeah, as far as people...
Back to the Future?
As far as people playing the first 3 seconds of the Forrest Gump soundtrack compared to Gonna Fly Now, yeah. I'd say most people recognize that, and it's more classic to them. In a general sense.
Because that one thing was a big hit, which makes him a one-hit wonder.
You could hear it, bam, 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 and you're done. You know what it is. But, I mean, even the Back to the Future, dah, dah, dah. I'm just saying, think about the classiness.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
Just saying.
I can't argue with that.
That's all I'm saying. Think about it.
But you just proved the one-hit wonder theory.
No, but, I mean, there's so many, that whole soundtrack of Rocky. It's all good. All of it. I can go from start to finish. All
right.
All the different ones, all of them.
Do you know the titles of the...
Kind of.
The themes?
Even, you know, Take It Back with Frank Stallone singing it was written by Bill Conti. Take it back, do-do-do-do.
Did he write that Rocky IV song?
No, the Rocky IV stuff was Vincent DiCapola, however you say his name.
Yeah.
And he did the Rocky IV stuff.
No, or was it Rocky III?
Which one? That's when Eye of the Tiger and Survivor came in.
Yeah, it was the Survivor song.
Yeah. Well, they did. So they did Burning Heart. Survivor did that for Rocky IV, and then Eye of the Tiger for 3. Survivor did 2 movies.
Oh, what's the? There was another song though.
Not Burning Heart.
No.
Hmm.
The one Proto Man.
Oh,
covered.
No Easy Way Out.
Yeah,
that was Survivor.
Survivor.
As well.
Yeah.
Survivor.
That's a great song.
Survivor was the Rocky.
So you're gonna say Survivor's a better film composer?
No.
Then.
No.
It's like John Williams, Bill Conte, Survivor.
You may have a point.
Oh, Adam. What do we have coming up in Gamer's Corner?
Not very many new releases, but a lot of news.
Really?
You want some teasers on that?
Should I have 2 energy drinks today?
No, just 1.
Okay.
We have some Grand Theft Auto 5 news.
Again?
But I promise this for a reason.
Do you get the news from the GTA 5 website?
No, I do not. I'm going to talk about Overwatch, some Batman Arkham series, and even some Nintendo love as well on Gamer's Corner next.
And I bought a video game last week.
Are you serious? You did not tell me that yet.
I know.
I'm excited.
I'm
going
to surprise
this.
You.
Tell me in Gamer's Corner.
Next.
You got to ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Grab your joystick.
This game is an atrocity.
It's time for Gamer's Corner.
I think it'll make a person become insane.
Gamer's Corner brought to you by Southern Fried Game Room Expo, June 10th to the 12th in Atlanta, Georgia, and a new venue this year.
Yeah, new venue, the Renaissance Atlanta Waverly. Fantastically nice hotel and place, convention center. I haven't been there yet in person, but I see the pictures and I am impressed.
We're not going to make it this year.
Sadly not.
We're not going down. Well, you know, somebody, apparently everyone involved in this thing decided to get married in 1 year.
It's just the way it works. I almost said it's not my fault, but that is.
It is your fault.
Yeah, I couldn't finish that.
But Conrate's still available at that fantastic hotel.
Yeah, I believe a little bit over $100 a night. Fantastic show, really. I went there last year for the first time at the Game Room Expo in Atlanta. I can't say enough good things about it.
Patrick, who is one of the organizers for the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, I think going to be on with us next week.
Nice, hopefully
so. To talk about this
Patrick
year's
Patrick and Preston
show.
From the Game Room Junkies podcast. Mm-hmm. Good fellas.
Check that podcast out.
Yeah, do it.
So speaking of hotels.
Uh-huh.
we've already got our Dragon Con stuff booked.
Yeah.
As you should.
And thankfully, we have our favorite hotel back again.
I know.
I'm so excited about
that. I know you are.
I'm pretty pumped.
I'm happy for you. I mean, to me, it was a fine hotel.
That wasn't your favorite? I mean, out of our experience? No. Really? What? As far as Dragon Con?
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah?
Since we're not saying the hotel name. I liked that game convention we did 3 or 4 years ago in Franklin, Tennessee. That hotel we stayed at.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I like that hotel room more.
Really? All I meant as far as your Dragon Con experience goes.
Oh.
That's what I meant.
No,
what?
You like hard to beat the Omni.
What? No.
Yeah.
The location of the Omni, man, was a mile walk to the convention center.
Yeah, but it was right next to CNN Center.
In my Leatherface with like 3-piece suit.
Look, it was right next to the food court. And you know back then, that was important. So this year, though, I'm actually going to go down before you guys.
Right.
Because I don't think we've talked about this.
Not yet.
I'm part of the media relations team this year for Dragon Con.
You are officially part of the media relations for Dragon Con.
And so I'll be going down earlier in the week. So even though we've had our Dragon Con room booked for a while, I went ahead and booked the extra nights that I have to go down early. It's ridiculous how much cheaper hotel rooms are before Dragon Con.
Like the day before Dragon Con officially starts, it's what? I mean, 25% of the usual
now,
rate.
Now, granted, I use like one of those hotel reward programs
yeah.
for the Hilton because they have like the Hilton Honors, which I signed up for years ago. And so when you sign up for that, you get discounts and stuff. I'm telling you, it was less than $60 a night.
That's insane.
Less than $60 a night.
Are you sure it's not next to a strip club?
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
No, it's downtown.
Okay.
It's the Hilton downtown.
Wow.
I double, triple, quadruple checked. But to me, it's just ridiculous that, and it's not exclusive to Dragon Con. It's anytime. Like if you try to go Memorial Day weekend and book a hotel room, they're going to be way more expensive than 2 days earlier.
That's when we always go for Memorial Day or Labor Day. All these convention weekends are always on holidays. So we always see the busiest time for hotels.
Because me and my wife are going to go to a Braves game Memorial Day weekend. Uh-huh. And I looked at trying to get a hotel room. And it's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's like, you know, $150, $160, $170 a night.
That's crazy. I mean, the Dragon Con rooms, around $300 a night, right?
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And that, but that's more than one bed.
Right, right.
I think I think with the standard is still around $180 a night.
Mm.
And all those hotels.
Yeah.
Which are sold out.
Sold out, yeah.
Yeah.
On a waiting list for some of those. It's crazy.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Dragon Con.
Pretty pumped.
Already.
Yeah, pretty excited. Do you have any more costume ideas?
Mm-mm.
I've got one. Remind me to show you before I leave.
I do have one.
Okay. We'll swap picks.
No.
Can we trade
picks? I'm not telling you.
Can I slide into your DMs and trade picks?
No.
No.
I'm not telling anybody.
Really?
I'm just thinking about it.
Okay.
I'm mulling over it.
Okay.
If I want to, if I do it, I don't know. I'll make it a surprise.
Okay. Okay. I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down.
There's Adam with Gamer's Corner.
I do have some gaming new releases. Just two, though. Don't be too excited about it. And one's a halfsie because we have Fallout 4 DLC called Far Harbor that came out this week. I've seen pictures and images. I don't know much about it, but I see a man in a ship on some ocean waters. So, who knows? Maybe it's a little Assassin's Creed Black Flag action in Fallout 4.
You know, you just saying that reminded me of that video game we talked about years ago.
What's that?
The trailer was just a man reading a letter as he was in a boat going across a harbor.
I don't remember this.
Dear Laura.
Dear Esther.
Esther.
Holy shnikes, I forgot about that.
Dear Esther.
I forgot about
this game will be boring.
I think it was a few months ago. Dear Esther came out on the Xbox One and PS4, didn't it?
I think so.
Because that was a PC release years ago. That's funny.
There are no zombies in this game.
Yeah, check out Dear Esther on YouTube. The actual physical release of the game this week we're talking about is Homefront: The Revolution. Now, this game was in development for over 4 years as a sequel to Homefront. It's an online, massive multiplayer shooter they're trying for. It had many development troubles, and the funny thing is, if you beat this game, Homefront: The Revolution, at the end of that, there's an apology letter speaking of the tumultuous development cycle of the game itself. So you beat the full game. At the end of that, it's a full, long letter written by the main developer and the head of the company apologizing for A, for it taking so long, and B, for it just being such a terrible process in the meantime. So isn't it weird now that we're in a day and age where people know so much about game development, they need apologies from the developers? I mean, can you imagine at the end of the Atari ET game if the developers gave you an I'm sorry message for that?
That would have been great.
It would have been proper, wouldn't it? Yeah.
How do you think that happens? Do you think that...
Part? The public knowledge or the fact that...
No, the public knowledge is the internet.
Right, right.
And nobody can keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a little something. I'm going to blog about it. I think this happens. This isn't exclusive to video games. I think this is any form of entertainment. Yeah. But I think something comes out, has success, high success or moderate success, and then whoever put that out wants to recreate it, and then more hands get put in the
right.
The cake batter.
Yeah, this had some sales. The publisher got sold. The developer had changed hands of ownership, and all kinds of things happened. People got fired. But it took over 4 years to make this one game. And so my main question is, for a game like this, for Homefront, The Revolution, which majority of people won't even buy, how does it make its money back? Over 4 years of people being staffed, a company putting money behind it for artists, for advertisements, and now it's out, and they have to sell X amount of millions of copies to even break even, and odds are they won't. Is that how these companies fail?
It's
like
the Batman v Superman of the video game world.
That's true. Very true. With that being said, the game has gotten very, very mediocre reviews, usually 5 or 6s out of 10s. So, yeah, if you want to, at least do some research on Homefront The Revolution. Check it out. That's all I have. That's all I have for gaming news.
That's
it? Gaming new releases. Now it is time for gaming. Han Solo's back. Oh, now you click it. Okay.
Sorry.
You know what? You're a PS4 owner.
Yes, I am.
It's time for a Gran Turismo game.
A proud PS4 owner, by the way.
Yeah, you are. Nothing wrong with that. But Gran Turismo Sport is officially launching November the 15th.
Not I don't do racing games.
Not a Gran Turismo fan?
No. I'm terrible at them.
As far as simulation racing goes, Gran Turismo is cream of the crop.
In my gaming life, going back to Pole Position.
Yeah.
Pole Position 2. Bump and Jump, Spy Hunter. I do make an exception for that game. I can't drive in a video game.
Really?
Yeah. Like when I play Arkham Knight, yeah. I think it's probably going to be the most frustrating game I've ever played.
Really?
Because I understand you have to drive the Batmobile.
Oh yeah, it's
a lot.
Quite a bit of missions, I hear.
I can't drive a car in a video game. Well, I can barely drive a car in real life.
Oh.
If you ask my wife. But
no, really, ask my wife.
But in a video game for sure.
Yeah.
And you know what got really frustrating?
What's that?
You remember when they started putting out the wheels you could buy to plug in as a controller?
Weren't a fan of that?
And you have the gas pedal?
Yeah. You weren't feeling that? Really?
No, I suck at driving in a video game. The only one I'm ever good at, Twisted Metal.
Ah.
But
vehicular combat, though.
The point is to wreck.
That's very true. Swapping over to Rockstar Games for a little bit. A little teaser for the main course of this meal.
A Red Dead Redemption sequel?
Maybe. Rockstar Games, as they officially confirmed, their next project will be revealed very, very soon. That could be at E3, which starts June 14th, just next month. But it could be another different time. But Rockstar Games saying for sure that we will reveal the next project very soon. Thoughts on that?
L.A. Noire 2.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm down.
That game does deserve a sequel.
Oh, man.
First of all, it deserves to be like remastered.
Right. Oh, I can only imagine.
Like the Arkham games I know you're going to talk about.
Dang it. I'm still my thunder here.
And it deserves a sequel.
Right, yeah.
Because that was some groundbreaking
video game technology.
It was.
The 360 and the PS3,
yeah.
the graphics were outstanding. Sticking with the Rockstar Games thing, though. So Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold an average, check this out, you ready for this? Since the release in September of 2013, before we go into the story deeper, a good game for a successful game, when they hit a milestone of 1 million copies sold, that's a big deal. For any video game today, as many options, digital and physical, as we have, for a game to sell 1 million copies is a big deal. Huge
right.
deal. This game came out in September of 2013, and on average, each month has sold 1.7 million units. On average, per month.
Every month, it's a great game.
Every month. So that's a grand total of 65 million copies sold so far, putting as the number three highest-selling game of all time. So some games below that, check this out. Super Mario Brothers for the NES, which was a pack-in title, only sold 40 million copies.
What?
Whereas GTA V has sold 65 million copies. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the second most popular GTA right below that, has sold 27 million copies compared to 65. Sonic the Hedgehog for the Sega Genesis, which was a pack-in title for the Sega Genesis, has sold 15 million copies compared to the Grand Theft Auto V, 65 million copies. Think about those numbers. Those releases came out today, and I had to give you these numbers.
It's the third highest-selling game of all time.
Yeah, and it's below kind of cheating games. The number two game is Wii Sports, which was a pack-in title for every single Wii, which sold 85 million copies itself, or maybe
right.
more. And the number one of all time is Tetris, but that counts Game Boy Tetris, that counts Tetris that was on your cell phone back in 1998, Tetris on every DS. That's Tetris on every unit. Even a free-to-play Tetris on your iPhone counts for that Tetris.
So when you're
IP.
Thinking just a solo game.
An actual game by itself. It's the highest-selling game of all time. Yeah.
Well, it's a great game.
Exactly.
I mean, we've been talking about this
almost
for
three
4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
How great this game is. At nauseam.
Yeah, but just these numbers are outstanding. It's a great... and the fact that it's a very hard M-rated game says even more about it.
I was at GameStop last weekend. Now I was looking at GTA 5 for the PS4.
Is that what you bought?
No.
Oh, got excited.
I was looking at the, you know...
I want
the pre-owned copy.
Yeah?
I'm not going to rebuy this game.
No, it's a different game now, man.
How different could it be?
Have you seen the different gameplay modes they have on GTA Online?
But the story's the same.
It looks much better, and there's first-person mode, too. Don't forget that.
Okay. Maybe. I looked at it. I had it in my hand.
I know you. Oh, I'm tempted myself sometimes. That's just kind of a crazy number. I mean, 65 million copies. I'll leave it at that.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. There's a rumor that
it's not that good. No, it is that good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. It is. A rumor that a new Overwatch character is going to be revealed this Monday, possibly. If you're a fan like I am of the Overwatch beta we had a few weeks ago, and I believe, 2 weeks? At the end of this month in May, the actual Overwatch game itself will be released, and it's possible. We have a new character coming this Monday already.
Interesting.
People are asking.
People love this game.
It's pretty fantastic, but coming from the... PC
it's
slash
no Rocket League.
Blizzard. Coming from the Blizzard standpoint, people are asking, should this game be free to play? As in, the game costs nothing, but you have microtransactions to buy power-ups and characters themselves. And I think that's a bad idea.
Who's asking that?
The public. Because Blizzard, I mean, much like Hearthstone.
No, Hearthstone did that.
100% free to play, but if you put $1,000 into Hearthstone, you will be a fantastic player, for the most part, from day one.
No, you won't.
You'll have the cards for it, though.
But you don't know how to put them
together.
Did
you see the videos I sent you guys this week of the new characters and things that happened? And
when you and Josh start getting on the text message of the Hearthstone stuff, I just...
You should zone out.
I zone out.
But hopefully it won't be free to play.
Ding, ding, ding. What's going on?
What does it mean?
This will end soon.
Sweet release. Like you spoke of earlier, Batman Return to Arkham was announced for a July 29th release. That's going to be on the PS4 and the Xbox One. I believe PC as well. It's going to have Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and all the included DLC with major graphical upgrades as well.
Arkham Asylum, Arkham City.
Yeah. All DLC.
Just those two.
Yeah, all DLC and major graphical upgrades. I saw side-by-side comparisons. Looks pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And all for the small price of $50.
And a great-looking case, too.
Yeah, pretty nice. You going to buy that? Maybe it's a thought. At that point, you could have the whole Arkham trilogy on your PS4.
And GTA 5. I could relive the highlights of my Xbox 360 days.
That's true.
I could play the exact same games I played on the 360 on the PS4.
And we've spoken of that before. All these HD remakes and special collector's editions, is that a good or a bad thing?
I would be lying if I said I didn't play some of those, you know, where they put the arcade games together and you get like 100 games on one disc, your favorite arcade games.
Yeah.
I played a lot of those.
Is that just kind of commemorating the past we've had as gamers, or is that lack of current good IPs coming out?
I think it's more of a salute to the
think
past.
So? Okay, we'll say that. That's a safe way to put it. Mm-hmm. I meant to talk about this weeks ago because this is a few weeks old now, but 29 years later, it's official. A visual cue for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out has been found. A new visual cue. Now, if you're playing against Piston Honda or Bald Bull, pretty tough fighters, if you've remembered those fighters.
Oh, you actually have me intrigued. Because
Are those tough guys
I remember them
fight?
Being hard.
In this game now, they just found this last month, a new visual cue, like I said. There's normally a static face in the crowd, the guy with a beard in there. He's one of the only men with a beard. And so if Bald Bull is doing his classic charge towards you, if he touches you once, you're down on the ground for the count, for the most part. There's a guy in the crowd with a beard. He will duck. Immediately when he ducks, you, as Little Mac, throw your punch. And that will knock out Bald Bull right on the spot.
Really?
It took them 29 years, and last month they found this visual cue.
I got to dig out my Nintendo now.
Yeah. It says, if timed correctly, a Little Mac punch will knock down either fighter of Piston Honda or Bald Bull. Watch the bearded man in the crowd. He's going to duck down, swing away, Little Mac.
Wow.
Swing away.
Swing for the fences.
Yeah, crazy. 29 years later, man, people are still playing and finding the stuff out.
I can't believe it took that long.
I know, right? Because
that really seems like something that would have, you know, come about in the first 15 years.
First 15, it's true. First decade, first 2 decades, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the first 2 decades. Not 3 decades later.
Yeah, true. Last but not least on gaming news, a little more Nintendo stuff to finish us up here, but the Nintendo NX, the rumored, well, at this point, it's official, new console coming out in 2017.
Or, as we like to call it, the Nintendo last ditch effort.
Here's one for you, though. It's rumored to be using cartridges.
What?
Yeah, that's what's coming out today. They're putting out patents for it, a new cartridge design.
Nintendo.
I wish you could see his response
here,
right now.
Nintendo, come here. Listen.
I'll play the physical representation of Nintendo.
Yes, hey, Nintendo.
Yes, JP?
You're drunk. Go home.
But
no.
Everyone loves cartridges.
No.
The cartridges
It's not 1987.
Don't you want to blow me
no.
again?
Don't you want to blow me?
What? The cartridges.
No.
I think it's a harken back to the old days of retro gaming. People want, I mean, once again, the blowing of the cartridges, people want to do that again.
No, they don't.
I'm serious.
Do you remember how frustrating that was?
And it's kind of confirmed now that that does more harm than more good, actually.
And it's also confirmed that that will not make a successful system.
That's very true. They tried to do the old, I mean, with the Nintendo Wii itself, you could turn that Wiimote sideways and play with the actual NES controller.
Turn your Wiimote sideways. Shut it up real nice.
So I do think with them using cartridges, they want people to, once again, take the cartridges out and blow into them again, honestly. Everyone knows that there are T-shirts now that says, blow me. It's got like an NES cartridge on it. People, be it 10 years old or 40 years old, know the old cartridge you blow into. Remember back in the old days, you blow in the cartridge?
I remember.
People love that. So now they're bringing the cartridge back because that can't, for the most part, a Nintendo 64 cartridge, you'd throw down a flight of stairs. A PS4, an Xbox One disc, if I drop a Frito on there, I could scratch it and ruin the disc.
Yeah, but think about everything you can put into that you can't put into a cartridge.
Yeah, right. You're totally right.
I mean, you know, it really didn't work for the Nintendo 64.
That's true.
I mean it wasn't bad.
Graphically,
but
it was lacking in comparison to the PS1 and the Sega Saturn.
Right.
That's true.
So what are they doing? They are drunk and they need to go home.
Like you said, last ditch effort. That is true.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for Gamer's Corner this week.
I bought a video game.
What did you buy?
The MLB The Show 2014.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
How about the 2014 version?
Nice.
Because it was only $20.
Nice.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I love it. I love that game.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game.
It really is.
Yeah, they're good.
There's so much to that game.
Pretty
I don't
deep.
Even know where to start.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just played mostly like exhibition games.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a season going right now.
Nice.
Where you can draft your team.
Oh, man.
You can draft legends.
I love sport. It's weird, but I love sports games. I play way too much FIFA, Madden. I love sports. Just the because there's an RPG element to it of getting your team together and getting the best people and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's good.
Right now I have Madison Bumgarner pitching for the Braves.
Yeah.
Still not helping.
Nice. Did you ever,
no help for that team.
Did you do a fantasy draft or did you have your the actual starting roster and go from there?
You can do it's a fantasy draft.
Nice,
and all teams draft everybody on the game.
That's what I do with Madden a lot. Yeah.
And so, you're putting your the best team from decades of baseball together.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Very
Johnny
cool.
Bench is on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ozzie Smith.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great game. And that's not the new one.
Yeah.
That's 2014.
Right.
And I haven't done any of the online stuff.
Yeah.
But there's also like a whole card collection.
Oh, that's the stuff. That is the stuff. Have you done this before?
No.
Because Madden has this and FIFA has this. In EA sports terms, they call it Ultimate Team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much like a combination of a trading card game with your actual sports game. So for soccer or even football, you'll open up a pack of cards.
Right.
I have quotes there because that is, of
course,
Tops
cards on this game.
Oh, it's Tops. Okay. So it's a digital pack of cards.
Right.
Each card being a player or a contract or a manager, someone like that. And you get these cards, you can put that player on your team. And they have certain contract numbers. You have contract cards as well. So say you got Sid Bream, old first baseman for the Braves back in the early 90s. You get him with he has five contract games on there. You can put him in. After five games, though, you have the option to swap him out for a different first baseman. We'll say Cecil Fielder comes in from the old Tigers back in the day, and you have the option to put contract on him or to keep Sid Bream in there. And so the options and the possibilities are endless to do that with.
I need to get into that because I haven't done any of that.
We just did, in this show alone, we've had physical like exercise and nutrition talk and old 90s baseball talk. Kind of a different theme for us here, different vibe.
It is. I still don't know who Thrall's daddy is.
Ooh, that laugh hurt.
Hey, join us on the Tuesday show.
Yeah, do that.
We're going to do kind of, is it a series of shows or is this just what we do now?
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll do it until we get tired of it.
Because we teased last week, we said there's Christmas in July, so why not we have some Halloween in May?
We're going to give you a Halloween in May.
We are.
We're going to do a brief history of John Carpenter. The godfather of the slasher film.
Yes, we are.
We're going to do that on Tuesday show.
Pretty exciting.
Also, we got some more headlines. I'm trying to see if there's anything I need to... Oh, Captain America Civil War now the biggest global movie of 2016.
As it should be. With over 2 or 3 months in theaters, Batman v Superman has less in theater money than Captain America Civil War does in two weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks.
And deservedly so.
If you're DC, what do you...
Well, you've seen we haven't talked about the big shakeup they had this week with Geoff Johns taking over basically Zack Snyder's role in the DC creative universe.
Well, he should.
Yeah.
So I trust Geoff Johns a little bit.
Is Zack Snyder done with directing? I know his role is
he's directing Justice League.
Okay, but as far as creative, I bet he's going to be mad about that.
Who cares? I know, but shitty.
I 1,000% agree, but why would he stick around to direct that if that disrespect has been wafted his way?
But he's still directing.
Right,
He still gets to direct the Justice League movie because they're already in production.
But wouldn't you have that feeling
of
people just like judging you now?
Yes, because not only has Geoff Johns been moved into that creative role, like he's basically the Kevin Feige now of the DC universe. I'm sure he loves that comparison.
Oh, yeah.
But he's basically, you know, that main figurehead at the top that kind of has the comic knowledge and knows where the characters come from. We need to do Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
One
week. For sure.
To just show how important he is to that whole MCU. And so you have Geoff Johns overseeing all this, and you have Ben Affleck is now the executive producer, he's an executive producer for the Justice League movie.
Oh, okay.
So you got Ben on one side and Geoff on the other, kind of babysitting Zack Snyder for Justice League.
That's good.
I think it's a great call.
Yeah.
Because he, I mean...
I would say if
I think a lot of the problems with the Batman v Superman fall on him.
If I were a betting man, I'm going to say he won't direct Justice League. As of right now, he may be the director, but I think.
But they're already in production.
Are they really? Have they filmed yet? Are they filming? Yeah. They may pull.
I know they're in pre.
Maybe they'll Ant-Man this and change it midway through.
Because he's had Twitter pics out with him on the set and stuff.
I just feel like the media backlash and now this happening and just I don't know why Warner Brothers would keep him around for that.
And it kind of, it's almost like a snowball because, the Flash director left.
Yeah.
I think the Aquaman director said he wasn't too thrilled about what was going to happen in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm. But they know they've got some success because they've already announced a Harley Quinn solo movie.
Right. I think they see just the great, the love people have for that Suicide Squad trailer. People love it already. They love that trailer more than they love Batman v Superman movie.
If that Suicide Squad trailer does not live up, or the movie not live up to the expectations of the trailer, they're in big time trouble.
Yeah, that's the saving grace they have going for them right now.
Yeah. So, Geoff Johns. Maybe they'll get things. I'm telling you, man, just get those TV people involved.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about the DC TV stuff on Tuesday.
We will.
Because I'm not ready to spoil some stuff.
Okay.
That happened this week.
Not yet.
On the CW shows. I'm in shock from the episode of The Flash.
Yeah.
I did not see the ending of that show coming.
I'm so far behind.
Yeah, I guess we can't talk about it.
Yeah, let me see it.
Yeah, it would spoil, the series.
Okay, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. Okay. Yeah,
so maybe we won't.
Let me see it first.
It was just heartbreaking.
Okay.
That.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no more. Don't say any more.
Check us out online, adamandjp.com.
Facebook at facebook.com/adamandjp. And Instagram and Twitter. Vine, maybe some other places too, at Adam and JP as well.
I'm Jay Patrick, that's Adam.
This is the Adam and JP Show. Face Sealer.
This has been a production of the Adam and JP family of On Demand Talk Radio.
AdamandJP.com.
Right now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.